We're going to continue our study maybe for the whole month of October. And worship, and because worship is very important in the life of a Christian, and that's why we need to cover that in our study. And if you wonder how in the world that I get this topic that we have in my sermon, because I believe that there is an acronym of WIFE, WIFE. And as a pastor, he's married to the church. And the wife stands for worship. And I stand for intercessory prayer. And F is for finances. And E for evangelism. And fellowship. Oh, fellowship, okay. So that's how I my sermon revolved that area, and unless God will speak to me in another way, I kind of put that in my sermon also. So we are here in this topic of worship, and let's turn our Bible to Psalm 96. And we'll read verse 1 and we up to verse 13, the whole Psalm 96. Are you all there? And we need to read it loud. Psalms 96. Are you all there? Okay, verse 1, it says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise His name. Are you reading with me? You read it with me. Louder. Because this from Psalms 93 to Psalm 100 is a Psalm of David. And this is, some theologians said that this Psalm is like a garment of praise. And that's why they say that when you read Psalms 93 to Psalm 100, you have to read it as the whole context. You cannot just pick out Psalm 95 or 96, but this morning we cannot just pick it up 95, 96. We're gonna be careful on breaking this. Because this Psalms 93 to 100 is Psalms of David, that when the Ark of the Covenant was stolen from them. Remember, the Ark of the Covenant was stolen from them? And it's been in the Palestine for how many years? 100 years. Because Israel was torn down. And then Palestine has that one, and the Ark of the Covenant was in their possession. But then when Obed-Edom, the Ark was transferred to Obed-Edom's house, the house of Obed-Edom was blessed. And that's David says, you know what? We need to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Israel. And this Psalms, it's from Psalms 93 to Psalm 100. This is the song of David. It's also in First Chronicle. So we're gonna read this, and it seems to me that it's that the commandment of God is sing to the Lord. So we're gonna read it, or if you feel like singing, you can sing with that too. So, but we're gonna read it loud. Amen. All right, start in verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord and praise His name. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his court. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. So among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his truth. Man, that sounds, God is to be worshipped. Amen? But that reminds me a story about this little boy. They were in their way home. And then he asked his mom, "See, mom, what is the highest number that you ever count?" And the mom said, how does that thing came up? And then the mom said, "How about you? What is the highest number that you count?" And the boy said, "It's about 6,573. How in the world did you came up with that number? Why did you not make it to 74 or 75? And the boy said, "Well, the church was done. That's why he counted up to 6,753. That means since he came into the church, she started counting. And the highest number that she counted is 6,573. That means, she said, the church is boring. And that's why it's a lot of people doesn't want to go to church. Because they feel that church is boring. I hope you don't feel that church is boring. Because maybe there's something that is true with that. But worship should not be boring. Amen? When we worship the Lord. Amen? There's a saying, I don't know if you know R.C. Sproul. He's one of the writers, he's a Christian, and he's saying, it is imperative, it is crucial, it's very vital, important, that the Christian at the beginning of his pursuit to understand what true worship is, gets it clear that the object of our worship is to God and God alone. See, once we divert that, once we worship other gods, there we are in deep trouble. Amen? And last week we learned from Psalms 95 that worship should always incorporate in two elements. Worship is rejoicing and in reverence. And perhaps the most importantly, worship must lead to a response. Amen? If we come and then we start worshiping and then we don't respond to God, especially the call in our life, we become, what happened? We become hard heart. Our heart will harden. Because we can only ignore God to the extent. And that's why the prayer that we have this morning, Lord, we can run, but we cannot hide. Because when God calls us, we need to respond, and especially in our worship to Him. Amen? So, before we go to Psalms 96, I just want to make some remarks in Psalm 96 this morning. Our 95, it said, it's difficult to make division in this psalm because it is really a seamless garment of praise. That's what I said before. To divide this or to make a take verse 1 to 7 and leave the rest, it's not good. But we are trying to do it carefully that we will not miss up the continuity, the wholeness of the worship in this content. Amen. So remember that this point follows the indictment of the closing verses in Psalms 95. If you remember Psalms 95, the last two verses of Psalm 95, it says, "For 40 years I was angry with that generation." So God is talking about that generation where Moses and the two helper of Moses, is that when they brought the children of Israel, they were in wilderness for 40 years, and that the older generation, they have nothing to say but complain and make their own God. So the writer of Psalms is, you know what, in Psalms 95, it says that for 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, there are people whose heart go astray, and they may not know my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See? So, because Psalm is an indictment. The last two part, there's an indictment to those whose heart are hardened. That their heart has been, they declare that the Lord is, and they take an oath because they come to me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. So that means that we can go to church, we can worship with our mouth, but our heart is far from God. Right? That's what it says. He said that in Isaiah and in also in the New Testament in Matthew. Because these people, they confess that they're God, but their heart is far from God. And maybe I will ask, do you think a non-believer can worship God? Or maybe that's something that we can study. It just came up to my mind that how can an unbeliever that doesn't confess Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is our mediator, right? See, if they don't have a mediator, how can the unbeliever can worship God? Or even, you know, there is some other churches that they will allow unbeliever. People that hasn't believed in Jesus Christ, they will allow the unbeliever to come and lead worship for them. That's an apostasy. That means the church doesn't really stick on to their statement of faith. So I'm not trying to get away from my sermon, but. To worship God is very only to the privileged people, only to those who believe in Jesus Christ. Because how can you worship God when you don't have a mediator? We don't believe in Jesus Christ. Maybe eventually you can worship God when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the first thing that we have to do to worship God, you must have a relationship with God, the God that you worship. The same thing with your husband and wife, right? Because how can you have an intimate relationship when you don't even, you just see each other today? See? Amen? So, remember that the requirements of worship is very delicate. Amen? So this song of worship is based upon David's anthem of adoration as found in the First Chronicle. These Psalms that I mentioned, Psalms 93 to 100, these are the culmination of David's song when they brought that Ark of the Covenant in Israel. And also, these Psalms is really a grand missionary hymn. The psalmist remind the Israelite that the blessing of God were never intended for only one group of people. It's supposed to be to all nations, as the verse is, to all nations. So we cannot say that only the Jews or the Israelite. Thank you, Elijah. We cannot say that only the Jews are supposed to be the receiver of God's blessing. God says it's never been intended for just one group of people. Amen. Bless you, Elijah. See, the call to sing songs is break out into a praise is given in the context. This verses, the whole verses here, it is a call that is the, in the context of Christ's second coming. Amen. And his glorious reign. We sing not just because of the past and the present, but we also sing because of the future, because God is coming. Right? Amen. God is coming. And that's why, if your heart is in trouble, don't let your heart be troubled, because God is preparing a house for us. Amen. So who should be worshipped? God, and God alone. Amen. Only God. Okay, I know. He's helping me. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that we have a grandson that helps in the sermon. He might be a preacher someday. Right, Elijah? Amen. So what is worship? To worship, it means to fall on your face or bow down. And it is found in the Bible, the word worship 170 times. But how should we worship? The how? How should we worship? We should worship, according to Psalms 96, with music. Verse 1 says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord in all the earth. And also, how should we worship? With proclamation. See, we proclaim. Sing to the Lord and praise His name. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Right? And then the next one, by giving Him glory. So, with music, and then we need to proclaim His proclaim the Lord, His salvation, day after day. And then, in verse, the next one, how should we worship? By bringing an offering. In verse 8 is, ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and to come into His court. So that's why the Bible says that bring your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. So that's why when we do corporately, we come in here in the church and we sing a song so that we can corporately worship the Lord and bring our offering, bring our body, bring our song, our lips, so that we can worship the Lord, or bring our tithes and offering to the Lord. So it's something that is giving and coming into His court. When we come to His court, we'll come to his house. In verse 8 and verse 9, it says, by living holy lives. By living holy lives. So, and also by witnessing for Him in verse 10. Witnessing for Him. So witnessing says, among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the people with iniquity. With equity. So, that's how should we worship the Lord. Maybe there are some other things in there. But why should we worship the Lord? We should worship the Lord in verse 2 because God saves us. Amen? Because God saves us. And in verse 4, because of His greatness and His fearsomeness. That's why we should worship Him. In verse 5, because of His power. Did you see that? Verse 5 of Psalms 96? For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heaven and the earth. So, hear His power. In verse 6, because of His splendor. Verse 6, splendor, majesty, strength, and beauty. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and glory are in His sanctuary. Amen? And in verse 13, it says, because God is righteous and true, and He is coming to judge. There you go. There, verse 13, because He's coming, and He is righteous, and He will judge the people in His equity. And then, verse 13, because God is righteous and true, and He is coming to judge us. And where are we to worship? In verse 3. Verse 3 of Psalms 96. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all people. It's among the nations. It's among the nations. And it says, in verse 6, in His sanctuary. Verse 6, splendor and majesty are before Him, strength and glory are in His sanctuary. Where is the sanctuary of God? Wherever He reigns. Amen? He reigns in your life. He reigns in the church. He reigns in His kingdom. Amen? Wherever He reigns. And then it says, where to worship? Also, we worship in the courts. Verse 8, it says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His court. Okay, all right. So when are we to worship God? In verse 2, it says, sing to the Lord and praise His name, proclaim His salvation day after day. Verse 2 calls us to sing and proclaim His salvation day after day. Not only when we are by ourselves or within the church, but we need to declare Him day after day. So there's four crucial elements of worship that we have to look at it. First of all, we have to look up the exalt His name. These are the requirements of worship. And number two, extend His kingdom. Verses 2-3, express His greatness. And then in number four, expect His coming. Exalt His name. The first crucial or necessary in worship is, we see this in verse 1-2, is that sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord and praise His name. When we are called in this passage to sing to the Lord three times. Did you notice it? This is very crucial in our worship. When it is repeated in triplicate, it's done to get our attention. How many believe that? When your mom and your dad tells you three times, you better listen. Right? Amen. So it's just like in Revelation, when the 24 elders is, Lord, a holy, holy, holy. So we have to pay our attention to that, right? Oh, Elijah, you're something, huh? Amen. So we need to pay attention, right? Singing out to our triune God started way back in the creation. You know, it did not happen in Psalms. Way back, even in the days of Job, In the days of Job, they read that, do we have that there? Job 38 verse 7, the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. So imagine that way back in the time of Job, they start already singing. It did not start in Psalms. And even to the end, when Jesus Christ come back, we will be singing. In Revelation chapter 15, verse 3, records the song of the Lamb. It says, great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. See, can you just imagine that we worship? We don't worship a God that is made up of hands. We worship a God that is alive and that He is preparing a room for you and me in heaven. And He is a God that created the whole earth. See, we don't worship a God that is dead. We worship a God that is alive. Amen. And that will make us, that will inspire us. Because there's a lot of people that they worship God that is dead. They worship God that is made up of their own hands. Amen. So notice that we are to sing a new song to the Lord. And this word can mean something that is brand new and can also mean it's delightful, it's precious, it's something that will inspire your heart. Have you noticed that when you go take a shower, you have that song that sometimes Sister Rose keep on correcting me, but that's the song in my heart. Amen. There's always that new song comes to you that the Lord will bring it in your heart and will start singing a song. Amen. See, when something new, it is something that is fresh. It might be a hymn, but a hymn that you haven't heard that before. It's just a hymn that's been there in the book, but you haven't heard it. Can you sing? You sing the song that I have a story. What's that song? Blessed Assurance. That sometimes that song is way back. I don't know, 17 something. But that when you sing that song, it's something that you can relate with it. And especially that song that we sing, You Are My Hiding Place. Man, every time, that's an old song, right? But every time I hear that song, it reminds me. It reminds me of when we have a Bible study. I think I shared that so many times here. But for the purpose of my message is that when we sing that song, You Are My Hiding Place, it reminds me of when we have a Bible study in Rialto. And then this couple, their son was married or have a wedding ceremony on Saturday, and then Sunday morning after service, they left for Mammoth Lake for honeymoon, and then on their way to Mammoth Lake, they have a head-on collision on that 395. Remember, some of you rode that 95, driven that 395, head-on collision, and their son died. The wife she didn't die. But then we were having a Bible study, and I said, you know what? Because the leader said, you know what song do you guys want to sing? I said, can we sing that song, You Are My Hiding Place? And then the dad says, no, I don't want to sing that song because it reminds me. It reminds. And I believe that all of us have the songs that it reminds us. The greatness of God in our life. Amen. There is that song that we keep it in our heart that reminds us that God is that God loves you so much. Like Brother Ken last Friday, he called us and shared with us the song about when God runs. Right? When that God runs. That reminds us something that is precious in our heart. And that's why when we sing a song, it's not just like, wait, we're singing a song and nothing. But see, the Lord used that song to remind us that we need Him. Amen? That our life, you know what? It's miserable without Him. And that's why we need to worship Him. Because He is worthy to be praised, worthy to be praised. Amen? So I wonder if some of us are still going to church, that, you know, and we believe that just going to church. But see, when we go to church, that's where His glorious, His majesty are being declared. We declared Him. And that so that when we declared Him, we can go ahead and go to other nations, to all the nations of the earth, that we can share. Because if we cannot share here with our brothers and sisters, I'm sure it's going to be hard to share the goodness of God outside. Amen? So, first thing is that we have to exalt His name. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. That's in Revelation. That's when He comes. We don't have to pray anymore, but we can sing. But there's a prayers that leads to singing. Amen. Are you with me? Is that amen or amen? So this call to sing was not limited to Israel, but it is intended for the whole earth. The book of Revelation gives us some further insight about who will fear you. We don't have that one. Revelation chapter 15, verse 4. It says, Who will not fear you, O Lord? Bring glory to your name, for you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteousness act had been revealed. So that time will come in the book of Revelation, that when He comes back, the revelation that the righteous act has been revealed, the act of Jesus Christ, because He's going to judge us. Amen? So all nations will come and worship. That brings me great hope and fires me up to be involved in what God is doing around the world. Amen? When we hear one of our the pastor that we support in Baguio and in Dagupan, he just emailed me the other day and he said, Pastor Ed, praise the Lord for the support that you have given to us, because we were able to go to Indonesia and open a church. Can you believe that? Pastor Manny and Mary Grace, Pastor Manny went to Indonesia. And how many of you knows that Indonesia is a place, the biggest population of Muslim is Indonesia. And Pastor Manny went there to open a church. And that happened because we are partially part of that mission. Amen? Are you glad that the giving that you have, it's not contained just here, but we only use it over there. In not only in the Philippines, but also in Indonesia. Amen? Amen. So that brings us to a great hope and fires me up. I'm sure that you're going to fire up too. Right? Kenny Boy said, yeah, I'm going to fire up too. Huh, Kenny Boy? So, that will lead us to the second crucial, it's necessary in our worship, is that to extend His kingdom. In verses 2b and 3, it says, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people. See, we are told not to extend his kingdom. We are to proclaim his salvation. We are told to extend his kingdom. So that's why we are able to extend. We are able to get into the Muslim country, Indonesia, because of your support. Amen? We're also told when we do it day after day. And we are told where to do it is among the nations. So our message is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our method is to share the good news daily, day after day. And our mandate is to take it to all people. So the only message that we really have today is that Jesus saved. Jesus Christ is alive. He is preparing the room for you and me. Amen? That's the only message that we can bring to the whole world, because Jesus saves us. Our Redeemer lives, according to Job. Amen? Because of what we have received, our method is to proclaim his salvation on a daily basis to those around us, to those God brought it in our path. Amen? When you fall in love with Jesus, which is one of the benefits of a corporate worship, you will want to tell everyone. Amen? Because in a corporate worship, that's where we are encouraged. That's where we have been pumped up. Amen? When you are full of His presence in your life, you cannot help but share the good news. I am personally challenged to speak boldly to others about Jesus, but I can remember a commitment I made when I received Jesus Christ in my life. I try to share the gospel with one person every day. But I haven't done that for a while. And that's what I want to be. I'm standing before you today to be accountable to my commitment to share the gospel to at least one person a day. And that you can ask me every day or every Sunday, you can ask me, Pastor Ed, have you shared the gospel to one person this week? Amen? So I stand before you today that I committed to share the gospel to one person a day. How many would like to take a challenge like that? Anybody? To share the gospel to one person a day? Anybody? Nobody? What's that?
Huh? Different person.
I'm glad you clarified. How many of you would like to share the gospel to one person a day? Amen. A day, or if you cannot take a day, 2 days, 3 days, you can say, you know what, Pastor Ed, 3 days ago I shared a gospel. That's okay. It's because it's not something that you force yourself. But you know what? You know what? God is gonna bring that person to you. Believe me, if you stand to be committed, you don't have to force yourself to call that person that's going that way. God will bring that person to cross your path. You don't have to go around and go to the football stadium and put that John 3:16. You don't have to do that. Just do your own work every day. God will bring that person. How many believe that? Amen. God will bring that person so that you are able to minister to him. Hey, that lady that came here 2 Sundays ago, nobody went there next door and pulled her over here. She just came in here because she needed that. And how many knows that everybody needs Jesus? Amen? And I'm here standing before you, committed. You can ask me every day because I want to be accountable to all of you. Amen? We need to extend this kingdom so that when He comes back and we all stand, and maybe you turn around as Brother Ken says, "Oh, you're here?" And then you see the mirror. "Oh, I'm here too." See? Sharing the gospel, it doesn't give you a ticket to the kingdom. What gives you a ticket to the kingdom is to believe Jesus Christ, that by faith you have been received Jesus Christ. So I forget already. What's the verse in that one? By grace through faith to Jesus Christ you have been saved. It's not you're going to other people to that person and sharing the gospel. You do that because that's the outward manifestation of a change inside of you. Amen. Amen. So, amen. So, extend this kingdom. Number 3, express His greatness. So, as we exalt His name and look up for ways to extend His kingdom, we will draw into the third worship, the imperative of worship, that we want to express His greatness. So, are you still open with your Bible? If you close it already, I put it there so that we can read it again. Okay? And I want you to just close your eyes. I'm not trying to hypnotize you, okay? I just want you to picture that as we read this. Amen? I want you to close your eyes and I will be the one to read it. Or you can read it with me. I don't know how you can read with your closed eyes. But listen to this. As you close your eyes, I'm reading it verse 4 to 9 of Psalms 96. "For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and glory are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth." Amen. See, God is not just a tribal God, but is a king all over the nations. And He is the most worthy of our praise. While some people worship idols, only the Creator of God is worthy of our praise. These Psalms bring us back to what's most important, that only God Himself is a great and most worthy of praise. Only God. There is no other God. He is to be feared and honored above all, everyone, and everything else. And in verse 5 tells us that He has no rival because He is the Creator. As such, we should worship Him with all that we have. See? Then He's not even telling you, "No, no, I'm a jealous God." So in verse 6, 4 attributes are personified as they were attendant surrounding the throne. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and glory are in His sanctuary. That's alone, He said, splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and the glory are in His sanctuary. See, I want you to look around. Because in His sanctuary, that's where you live. That's where the church is. That's where He lives. That's where He reigns. And you see the splendor of His majesty are before. Strength and glory are in His sanctuary. See, the psalmist has renewed urgency in proclaiming that the Lord in verse 7 and 9, three times in a row, challenges us to ascribe or to give to the Lord what is due to His name. See, we were mandated to worship Him, but then He mandated us to proclaim and to give honor due to Him. So God has ordained the families. It says here that the families of the heavens, of the nations that are singled out to be ascribed glory and strength to the Lord. See, God uses families. He uses you and me. He uses your family so that to ascribe to Him and to bring glory to His name. See, that's why the Bible says, "For me and my house, we will serve you, Lord." You see? Amen? God has ordained the family unit as a special and a unique creation of His. As parents, we must do all that we can make sure our families are honoring God through our times of family worship, interaction, and servanthood. Amen? And the last part of verse 8 give us a practical way to do that. When this psalm was written, people would take offering to the temple. The specific words refer to them, thank offering. Or those things that people would give out of gratitude to the Lord for all that He has done. Amen? So in this part, in verse 8 of Psalms 96, it says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due to His name. Bring an offering and come into His court. So here is telling us that when we worship, describing the Lord's glory that is due to Him, bring an offering. I can think of at least three ways that we can bring an offering to the Lord today. In Romans 12, 1 and 2 tell us to offer our bodies to the Lord. When we surrender fully to Him, we will worship Him through the offering of our lives. When we adore God with songs of and hymns, says that we are offering a sacrifice of praise. And that's why when we sing, before we come to our main service, is that we sing. We can offer our body as a living sacrifice. We also worship God as we offer our financial resources to Him and His kingdom purposes, to bring our tithes and offering, because we have a deep need to express something important to God. And that's what Malachi 3 teaches, that when we hold back in our giving, we end up robbing God and missing out on His blessing. Because that's the sanctuary, the church survive, because we bring our tithes and offering, and that we are blessed when we bring our offering to Him. So when we surrender our lives to Him, when we offer a sacrifice of praise, and when we give financially, we are declaring that He is worthy. He's worthy of our praise. And verse 9 teaches us that we worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness through our offering. When we tremble before Him, we will want to give all that we can to Him. Why? Because He deserves it. Amen? Does God deserve your offering? He is. Does God deserve your sacrifice, your bringing your whole body as a sacrifice to Him? Amen. And lastly, expect His coming. That's something that will come to pass. We exalt His name. We will eagerly look for ways to extend His kingdom. This then motivates us to express His greatness. And the final imperatives or that are crucial in our worship is to found in verse 10 and 13. Here we read of the reign of the Lord and His coming judgment. Did you see that? 10 and 13? Verses 10 to 13, it says, "Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the people with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth. Wow. See, when Adam and Eve sinned, the creation went out of the norms, out of what God's really planned for us. So when the second Adam returns, all creation will be delivered from bondage. When Jesus Christ comes, everyone, because the Bible said everyone will kneel before Him. Even that person in Ifugao or in Bilibid National Prison in the Philippines, they will be saved. Even the Jews, they will be saved. Not everyone will be wasted. Amen? So, expect His coming. He's going to come. You can put your money in the bank. Amen? Because the last stanza of this hymn gives us a great hope that Jesus is coming again. And when He does, He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in truth. He will dispense justice, will vindicate believers, and will establish truth forever. His kingdom will have no end. Amen? In Jude chapter 14, verse 15, it says, "See, the Lord is coming to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly. For all the ungodly act they have done in the ungodly way, and of all the harsh word ungodly sinners have spoken against Him." So we also need to be ready ourselves so that when we do not shrink away or shame in the suddenly appears. Amen? That's why the Bible says that don't let your heart trouble, because He's coming and God is preparing a home for you. And Jesus is coming again. You can be sure of that. Regardless who is the president, whether Republican or Democrat, because that White House is gonna tremble and bring to the ground. But great is the Lord and worthy of our praise, that His kingdom will live forever. Amen? Action steps. As we're up this morning, let me give you some action steps. Read Psalms every day. Every day. Psalms. And if you start tomorrow morning with Psalm 1 and read a different Psalm every day, and 2 on Sundays, you will finish the book of Psalms before the end of the year. Today. This alone will help increase your passion for worship. You might even want to read them out loud or sing them if you are able. Listen to the worship music every day. I want to encourage you to incorporate praise songs and Christian music into your lifestyle. And some of you maybe listen to other kinds of music or talk radio when you're in the car. Try to listen to a Christian station or play a tape or CD that draws you into worship. How many of you drive more than 5 miles a day? Man, that is a good time to worship the Lord. When you play those Christian songs, man, You will be surprised how close you are with God. Amen. Play that song, that music, that CD. And then the third one, pray for 5 neighbors. How many of you have talked to your neighbor? Just their next door neighbor. Anybody? Talk to them. I think Brother Vic, you have a neighbor that classmate of your brother, huh? Have you talked to that guy? There you go. We have another starting point in there. Pray for 5 neighbors or 5 minutes or 5 for 5 days a week. We have been discovered this psalm, singing leads to sowing. When we praise Him, we will want to proclaim Him. We are praying for 5 of our neighbors on a different nights of the week. On Mondays, we pray for one family. On Tuesday, we pray for another. And as you pray, look for opportunities to care and share. Pray for our missionaries on a regular basis. How many of you pray for our missionaries? For Mike and Jeanette. And for Pastor Manny and Sister Mary Grace. And for pastors that they are covering. Amen? And get ready for Jesus to come back. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus yet, you need to ask Him and to be rescued from your sin. Because you cannot worship God if you don't have a relationship. Amen? You need to have a relationship. You have to receive Him as your Lord and Savior of your life. Amen? And the same thing with your neighbors. They cannot worship you. They cannot worship the Lord unless they receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's the mediator. Unless they are playing hypocrisy. Amen? So that's a great challenge to all of us this morning. Amen? Shall we all stand? Bored believer. Have you heard that word? Bored believer. How many of you heard that word? A believer, but then it's bored. And then they will come. I'm bored, Mom. I'm bored, Dad. I don't want to go back to that church because I'm bored. If you truly understand what being a believer is, it's all about, it will be impossible to be bored. If you are exalting, extending, and expressing, and expecting, we will be fired up. And we will experience the joy of what it means to be a partner with God and His kingdom and His word. Amen? We need to change our word. Bored, never being a believer. We should not be bored. Amen? Shall we pray? Father, we come to You this morning. And Lord, we study this worship, the Psalm 96, Lord God. And Father, You define to us, Lord, that the necessary, the vital and crucial elements of worship, Lord God, in a biblical way. And Father, we pray that as You dismiss us, we pray for the Holy Spirit, Lord, to reveal to us the Psalm 96, Lord, and what it's all about. And Father, we pray that this seed will not fall into a rocky place, Lord, or a dirt or something that doesn't grow, that doesn't grab the soil, Lord. But Father, we pray that these seeds, Lord, are fall into a fertile ground. And Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. If there's anything, Lord, that is not from you, Lord, Father, we pray that you will take it out before even we go, Lord, our ways. Our desire, Lord, is to be with you, Lord, and to worship you, to honor you in the way you want us to do, Lord. And help us, Holy Spirit, that we may do the things that you want us to do, Lord. That as we respond to your calling, your response to your mandate, to sing a new song, Lord, in our heart. We pray, Father, that you provide us, Lord, the songs, those words, Lord. And Father, we thank you today that we can submerge our whole body and our spirit in your presence. And Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God. And Lord, as we bring our tithes to you, Lord, this morning, we pray that it will help us, Lord, to extend your kingdom to the outmost part of the world, Lord God. That we will be part of it, Lord. And Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.